Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Omega Leadership Show, Studio G, where the discussions for Omega Leadership happens. This evening we are excited here in the studio to continue our focus, our thoughts, our dialogue, our conversation around what it means to be an Omega leader. We've been kind of lingering around this topic of poise as an Omega leader characteristic, and we're going to continue that focus tonight in looking at a particular aspect of poise, which is trusting your instincts. And so in the studio tonight, I have with me Alisa Holston representing the business, the education pillar. Sorry about that.
You know something about my job that I don't know?
Glad to be here. Well, it is kind of a business situation at the moment to see if education is going to continue to be funded.
Well, yeah, we are kind of at the mercy of business, so that's true.
And representing the business pillar is Vicki Arteaga. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Lori Beth Jones is out of the studio this evening. And where are you, Lori? Check in with us.
I am in Glendora, California, the lovely foothills outside of Orange County. Beautiful day today.
Great. Well, we're glad that you've called in from a distance. We miss you here in the studio. So we're going to jump right in here and talk about, Lori Beth, this principle, this concept of poise, carrying this through for the last 3 weeks. And next week we will look at a final thought on poise, which is release. And I know we have talked about release on previous shows in regards to your new book, Jesus Life, Jesus Career Counselor. And so we'll visit that from the principle of poise next week. So excited about that. And I know you're going to be in some other country next Thursday, but we'll have you dial in on that too. So this evening, Lori, opening up this principle of poise, trusting your instincts, tell us what you were thinking as you began to look at the leadership style of Jesus and how Jesus trusted his instinct when working with teams, individuals, in relationship. Kind of unpack that a little bit here at the front of the show for us.
Well, As I study the word instinct, I have two minds about it, or two thoughts about it. One is that part of Christianity is teaching us to overcome our lower nature, our reactive fight or flight. When someone slaps us, our instinct is to slap them back. And so part of it is, I'm not talking about the primitive brain, which is the fight-or-flight instinct. But here I'm talking about really the gut. And in the chapter in this book, I quote something that I learned, which was that the intestinal lining of a person's stomach and intestinal area has the same cells, the same basic cells as the brain cells. And so when people say, I just knew in my gut that it wasn't right, some people said, well, the gut is lower than your heart. How can you think in your gut? But they're doing studies that show that there's some similarities of processing, the ability to process information, or maybe it's not data, but it's something beyond data. And so instinct is, to me, when you think about animals returning to the place they were born, or a dog finding its way home, or how baby birds know how to hatch themselves out of an egg, all of those things that are sort of unfurling within the God-created DNA that they have. That's what I mean by instinct. And so in this chapter on poise, talking about Jesus being so poised when there were so many things to throw him off center, I talk about the fact that he knew in his heart what was in man, so he didn't have to trust men or mankind, but he also had a sense about people. And one of the stories that I quote is when he saw, was it Nathaniel, the Israelite, coming towards him?
Right.
He said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." He hadn't even met him, and he could tell that this man was not deceitful. And we see stories in the Bible where people trusted someone wrongly, like Abner trusting Joab and dying as a fool, and King David lamenting, you know, should Abner have died as a fool because he trusted Joab who had nothing but malice for him. So, and then I also talk in the book about a woman's self-defense course that I took when I was working at the Women's Resource Center. And the trainer, who of course was working mostly with women, he said, if you walk down an alley or you walk into a situation and your gut tells you there's danger, trust your gut. You don't have to verify it with your senses. You don't have to be able to see something or even hear something. He said, you've got to trust your instinct when you sense danger in that regard. So all of those things combined mean that there's a way to process information from the Holy Spirit that may not just be faith, but it may be God telling us something that we need to listen to. So that's where I was coming from on he trusted his instincts, that sometimes it's knowing information that you cannot verify any other way and acting on it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting this week following you on Twitter as you related some of these topics. There was one that really stuck out for me. Instinct does not follow a rational highway. It just is. I thought that was powerful, a powerful way to, you know, just to kind of lay it out there and have, you know, our individual minds grapple with that. But then you go on to say perhaps it's the voice of the Holy Spirit whispering to us truth. We have no other way of knowing, or perhaps it's guardian angels showing us where to find the jewels and avoid the stones. Wow, that's a powerful imagery, Lori. I don't know if you want to linger there for a second, but when we're talking about the principle of poise, from an Omega Leader perspective, if the Holy Spirit is absent, where does that leave instinct?
Why would the Holy Spirit be absent? Is it not a school day?
Yeah. Well, in the sense of either we're not in tune to the Holy Spirit, we're not perceptive, we're not clued in, maybe we don't even know how to spell it. For individuals that might listen to this show that aren't aware that the Holy Spirit is even part of instinct.
Well, I think even the notion, or not the notion, but the reality of instinct existing has to go towards a creator. When you look at how a first-generation fish with no ancestors to talk to knows how to make its way to the place where it was spawned, you know, that's amazing. There's just amazing jewels of God's creation wherever you look. So I think that we can open it up to questions and discussion, because I'm sure there's a lot of thoughts flying in the studio.
Oh, yeah, lots of them. Fasten your seatbelt, here I come.
All right, here we go.
Well, I just want to start out by saying that as I was reviewing the chapter 2 preparing it, it struck me that how true that wisdom is, that, you know, trusting your instincts, that old adage. And how many times I comment during the day at work, I'll say to my colleagues, oh, if only I would have trusted my instincts about a person or a situation. And so many things cause us to fight our instincts. So what in your experience or your travels or your research have you come across that are those things that make us fight our instincts, go against that, even though, like, in the back of my mind, I know my instinct told me I should have trusted my instincts, but why do I fight that and not trust my instincts?
Good question.
Yes, that is a good question. Well, I think for one thing that we're always wanting more information. If we can just get the data, if we can just get the facts. And I was in a situation consulting with a group last month, and we were discussing two candidates, two really worthy candidates for this position. And each one had their strengths and their challenges, and we could have gone on for hours talking about or trying to dig more into their background or whatever. And so finally, the CEO said, all right, we're going to do this. Well, I said, close your eyes and try to picture who do you want sitting beside you at the board table. And so they did that. And then the CEO said, all right, we're going to do the two-finger throwdown. Whoever number one represents this guy, and number two represents this gal or whatever the genders were. And so everybody did one, two, three, like paper, rock, scissors. And it was unanimous for this one person, even though the discussion would not have led me to believe that person was going to be the choice. And we had quite an array of elements represented at the table. Earth was there, and then we had a wind, and then we had fires, two fires. And so it was interesting that unanimously everybody wanted this person who was actually a newer to the company. And so when I said, all right, now let's analyze this, why did you come up with that? They couldn't really say, but it was unanimous that the instinct was pointing to this person rather than the one who seemed to be a better candidate. So, you know, it's just, I see it all the time. Even in Scripture, they used to cast lots. You know, you reach a point where you just do not have the information, you know. There's just simply not enough information, and at that point, you've got to go with your instinct.
It's interesting because there's a book that came out, I think, subsequent to Jesus and Luigi, and so you are way ahead of the curve on this, called Blinken. I can't recall the author. Caldwell, I think it's with a G, okay. Gladwell. Anyway, and he talks about that Blinken, that he did a study where it just completely backs up what you're saying, that he did this comparison of showing a video to college students with no sound for 2 seconds, and then getting their evaluation or their opinion, their instincts about this particular college professor or college professors that they kind of would have been asked to evaluate, right, just based on that 2 second blip. And then he compared and contrasted those to the evaluations for the same professors at the end of the semester. And what the people had with more information was the exact same conclusion that the people who were in the study had drawn in 2 seconds. So you're kind of juxtaposing it to reason and information, and he even goes so far as to say it may or may not contradict reason, but to trust yourself and that you know certain things you just know right away. You don't need more information. You don't need to think about it. You just know, and you need to trust that. Vicky's fighting for the phone, so we'll let her have it.
So there are other people that might think that even though we all have instincts, we don't know how to read our instincts, and so it's something that needs to be learned.
Is that a question?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just posing that. So it's even though we all feel like butterflies in the stomach or whatever, do you know what that means? Do you know how to read it? Do you know how to act based on that?
Well,
that something that you will learn?
Right. And that's kind of what I was alluding to just a little while ago about, you know, as a Christian, we may rely on the Holy Spirit, but I think what you're saying is, what is that? You know, in a natural sense, how do we trust that?
Yeah. And even if, let's say that it's a young Christian, it's a person that just became a Christian today, what is the trust that that person might have in the Holy Spirit might be completely different than the trust that somebody that has been a Christian for a while might have after experiences.
So are you saying that instinct needs to be learned? Is that the question?
Yeah. It's not that instinct needs to be learned, but just interpreting your instinct and knowing how to follow to the right or to the left, you know, shall I stop or shall I go? And, you know, might require prayer and meditation. But, you know, what do you think?
Well, I think that the whole issue of how to discern God's will is huge and has filled theology books and classrooms for centuries. And really thousands of years. How do we know what God's will is? You know, there's a combination of some people say, well, it's Scripture. If it's not in the Bible, then it's not God's will. Well, the Torah was the Bible, and Jesus came along. He was not in the Torah unless you understood prophecy. You know, no, nothing in the Torah said anything about a baby being born and being raised as a carpenter that people could discern. So they missed it. And I think that I would link this chapter almost with one, the notion that God, one of God's favorite games is surprise. Because instinct means you're open to possibilities that could astound or surprise you. And when someone, you know, I grew up in the charismatic movement or was a participant in that, experienced that for many years, and I was always suspect when someone said, God is calling me to quit my job. And then the pastor would prophesy over them that God was calling them to come work for his church. Or God was calling this person to donate everything to his ministry, or all those different things. You know, so there's a lot of abuses there where people take someone who's willing to be led and lead them the wrong way. And Jesus had very, very strong words for that. But to understand and discern God's words for us and God's will for us, the only way to do it is to walk it and work it. You will hear a voice beside you saying, this is the path, walk ye in it, not sit and think about it. Start walking, try it. And the joy of Christianity, I think, is that we're always going to end up in a better place. Even if we make mistakes, we're always going to go home to joy. So it should take some of the fear, or really all of the fear, out of the journey. That, you know, don't walk on too narrow a path being afraid that you're going to fall off one way or the other. God will catch us. Jesus will catch us. As long as our hearts are in the right place and we're moving towards what we believe to be God's voice.
You, one of the things that kind of, being the cynic that I am, I think one of the questions that kind of came up in my mind, and you're alluding to a little bit right now about what you're talking about, is there a time to trust your instincts, and is there a time to slow down and collect that rational information? And kind of part of that is what things can... So I guess there's... Well, answer that first, and then I have a follow-up, but I know you love it when I pack the question, so I'll break it. Is there a way to know when this is an instinctual decision, or I need to step back and really reflect, pray, collect information? Is there a way to know that, or is that an instinct too?
Well, we talk a lot about the elements, of course, and we teach the elements. Well, the instinct of fire is to burn. The instinct of wind is to blow. The instinct of water is to go with the flow, and the instinct of earth is to grow, right? So we're hardwired to naturally do those things. I think when it's best to ponder decisions or when there are other people involved and when there's consequences, and that's why we like the decision matrix. Have we consulted all of the roots of the situation, the earth? Have we considered the emotions of the situation, the water? Have we considered the wind or the innovation aspects of the situation? And with the fire, have we considered the illumination or the potential destructive aspects of this? And I think the older that we get and the wiser that we get, the more we're likely to slow down a little bit before we just jump.
Yeah, and you kind of answered a question. I said, you know, which elements are more instinct-driven and what can the other elements do to kind of moderate that or develop that? And you talked about that decision matrix. I wonder, kind of coming back to just kind of that critical thinking a little bit too, is what are some things that in the best of circumstances can disable our instincts and cause us to either misread our instincts or... Well, yeah, I guess that's the best way to look at it. You know, we think we're acting on an instinct, but we're wrong in that. What are some things that might disable that ability to make the right instinctual decision?
Well, I think peer pressure, particularly if you're running with the wrong crowd, a lot of people in prison, knew they were headed for the wrong thing and didn't trust their instincts about the person. I think that parents, you know, the warnings of friends who have our best interests at heart can be something that helps us make better decisions with instincts. And I forgot the second part of your question because my mind went in another direction. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. What kind of led me to that is one of the statements you made in your book was that we must build esteem in order to trust our instincts. And so that's almost kind of an answer to Vicki's question of how do we learn to trust our instincts, and you kind of answered it. You said we must build esteem. And so I kind of went there thinking that in my experience I've seen kind of arrogance and pride really push people towards a decision, and they're not stepping back, and so that might be their instinct based on whatever that arrogance and that pride are, and they're not balancing that with some self-awareness and humility. So I guess in kind of my mind, arrogance and pride can disable our ability to make good instinctual decisions.
Oh, sure. And then another thing, and that's where I was going as I'm sitting here looking at my half glass of wine, is that drugs and alcohol can inhibit our instincts. You know, anything that alters the senses. I remember just being appalled learning that hard liquor and cigarettes actually destroy brain cells. And I think I was 8 or 9 years old, or maybe 10 certainly, and I just thought, why would anybody deliberately destroy their brain? You know, what is that about? So, we've really lost sense. I'm sorry, Vicki. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, just that we've really lost touch with our bodies in so many ways. We keep them numbed, overstimulated, exhausted, stressed, and then we don't know why our instincts aren't functioning. It's because we checked out of our bodies a long time ago.
That's really powerful.
Yeah. And how can our instincts relate to our poise?
Well, let's throw that question out to the group.
What do you guys think?
Well, I have a thought on that. Actually, it was a question that was kind of spiraling around in my head. You know, as I look at Jesus as our role model here as an Omega leader and the team of 12 that he worked with, and Laura, you often refer to that he had staffing problems too, and he lost one, and it's that one that I want to focus on, right, for the moment. He instinctively knew about the betrayal. But yet he allowed Judas to be part of the team, to show up, to guide Judas, to mentor Judas, to lead Judas, to eat with Judas, to play and talk and walk and create and develop. And so I think it's a leader's job on the side of poise, obviously, not to immediately judge somebody by what we see outwardly, because sometimes the visual clues are deceptive.
Right.
But instinctively, apparently our role model knew that Judas was going to bail for a few pieces of change. And yet, Jesus kept his poise about it. And I just think it's been one of those, it's like you said, Lori, there's been tons and tons and tons of detail written about this relationship between Judas and Jesus. But I think it drops square into our conversation tonight as a way that the Omega leader, Vicki, say your question one more time.
It's how can our instincts relate to our poise?
Yeah. So how can our instincts relate to our poise is in a way that we have total regard for a person, even though we may feel that that person is going to turn, maybe stab us in the back and run off of the team straight to the social media channels and blow the biggest horn they have, you know. You know, I think that's my contribution for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, Shelley, I think that was brilliant because you nailed it. the whole purpose of this is, you know, we think our instincts are supposed to keep us from danger. And so if Jesus knew that from seeing a guy, Nathaniel, across the way that he'd never met, he knew he had no guile, he had to know when he met Judas that Judas was going to betray him. He had to know that. He knew Peter was going to deny him. So there wasn't anything he knew about his team that he didn't know. The key is, so one would say, well, if he was such a great leader and he knew this, why did he hire him? Well, that leads to fate, predestination, God's will, all those other topics. But the truth is, the overarching truth is that Jesus prevailed. Faith prevailed. And I think that's what I was trying to say at the beginning of the program, is that when we walk in Christ, when we walk in faith, we are going to prevail no matter what, no matter who. If we really got how indestructible we are in Christ, it really wouldn't matter whether people were going to betray us or not.
Exactly. That's exactly, you know, what I was trying to say too, Lori, is that we, you know, companies crumble, you know, relationships fall apart, people are offended, people, you know, all kinds of things happen, and sometimes we act like we're really surprised by that, or it's devastating, or it knocks us, you know, 6 years backwards, instead of saying, you know, instinctively, well, you know, that person contributed something. They did this. They held that post. They kept us running. They kept us going forward. Boy, the history books are full of the things that we wish that couldn't be there. And I know, Vicki, you want to speak, so I'm going to give this back to Vicki because she wants to kind of, I think it was a great question, and it was kind of lingering in my mind too, so thanks for letting me share that.
Yeah, no, it's, I agree with what you were saying. I was thinking on David and how he kind of knew in his heart that Saul was against him. Mm. And I think the poise that he kept was the trust that he had on Saul's son, right? Jonathan. But it's not that he was not shaken by the events and by the feelings and just the gut feeling that he had about Saul. Well, not only the gut feeling, I mean, there were physical evidence sometimes, right? And some things of him. And
whizzing past his brain.
Exactly. So after somebody just shoots at you, you're like, I think they're mad at me. Well, do you think? But his point was a little bit based on the trust that he had on Jonathan.
Exactly.
Yeah, 1 minute, everyone. I was just going to say, I think it's kind of bringing it back around to poise. I think one could also argue that Saul, by instinct, knew that David was his enemy, that David was, and that was also an instinct, but Saul did not act with poise. But mm-hmm. David acted with poise. I think instinct isn't, acting on instinct isn't always a matter of poise. I think it's how we act on our instincts that can be a matter of poise.
Mm-hmm. So wrap us up here, Lori. You've got about 60 seconds on the topic of how the Omega leader trusts their instincts.
Well, I think that it's good for us in the studio and away from the studio and our listeners to reflect on what is the situation that you are facing right now, where you have an instinct about it, but it's not necessarily backed up by data. And are you tinged with fear? Are you afraid you're going to make the wrong decision? Are you afraid you're going to say the wrong thing? What if you took the fear away and trusted that God is speaking to you about this and took the next step? Sometimes we think we have to jump across a huge river or something. It's the next step that always takes the courage. So you will hear a voice beside you saying, this is the path, walk ye in it. We know we are never alone. We know that we have guardian angels. We know that we have the Holy Spirit, and we're going to end up in a very happy place. And if we can acknowledge that now, every instinct should be to dance. So thank you all tonight. Thank you, Shelley and Elisa and Vicki, for your faithfulness in being in the studio. Thank you, listeners. And may God guide you in all things to joy. Blessings to you, and good night.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you. Good night, team.
Good night.
Bye-bye.